ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
Welcome back. Great to be here with you tonight. And thanks for joining us live on Facebook and on the Zoom conference. We really get together here on a regular basis to discuss Krishna Katha, because the Srimad Bhagavatam says that by doing so, one fortifies one's consciousness. And this is very important. So before I start tonight, I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of you, because you are Vaishnavas and therefore are the most worshipable in the three worlds. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. Great to be with you.
Yeah, so we do have Surat also on the Zoom call.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Surat. Great to have you there. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Evam buddhi param buddhva samstab yatmanam atmana jai shatram mahabaho kama rupam durasadam. You'll find this in the very last verse of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And in that instruction, Krishna says that one should fortify one's buddhi or intelligence so that one can then overcome one's lower nature. As we come into this world, we're challenged by our senses, which are pre-programmed to be attracted to various objects in this world. Krishna gives us instruction that helps us to be self-directing. And in order to be self-directing, we actually have to develop our spiritual intelligence. This comes from reading Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita are non-different from the words that he spoke to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So you get this transcendental experience when you read from Bhagavad Gita. And there, in the verse I just quoted, he says that develop your deliberate spiritual intelligence so that you can move through the world without simply being pulled in various directions by the senses. So one of the reasons we get together like this is to discuss spiritual topics. And when we hear good questions and we discuss the answers, this also gives us determination. So in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the most important writings on Vaishnavism and the practice of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj, says, Siddhanta Bolyachita Nakara Alash Iha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudrud Manash. And this means that to develop a Sudrud Manash, or a very determined mind, in order to overcome obstacles, to move on the path despite the fact that there's complexities in life, one should understand Siddhanta. Siddhanta means to know what Krishna teaches. And what are the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Very clearly. Siddhanta means to come to a conclusion. And by that conclusion, one develops one's goals in life. And when one has a clear goal in life, then one moves forward steadfastly without being discouraged by various events that will inevitably come into one's life and may seem like detriments. So, Siddhanta Balachandana Akara Alash, and the word Alash means don't be lazy. Of course, there are a lot of complexities in this age, and the Srimad Bhagavatam says people are lazy in this age. Manda Sumanda Matayo. That people tend to be a little bit lazy on the spiritual side, but none of you are. That's why you've joined us tonight or are listening to this broadcast. So I'm going to look at some of the questions that some of you have sent in and are sending in right now. So don't mind as I put my spectacles on here and take a closer look at what you're writing. And here's one from Facebook, and this is from Shikhar Verma. He writes, can lack of discipline in one's personal life become a hindrance in one's practice of bhakti yoga? So this is a very important question. Can lack of discipline in one's personal life become a hindrance in one's devotional practice? Well, first of all, let's look to the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Gita, yukta haraviharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapnavabodasya, yoga bhavati dukkha. If you want to be free from the kind of distresses and pain that actually distract you from practicing devotional service, he says, develop good habits. It is important to have good habits. And it will affect you if you develop bad habits in your life. Another truism, and that is, we develop, as we develop disciplines, they will affect all the different aspects of our life. And when we let ourselves go in one part of our life, we'll also tend to let ourselves go in other parts as well. Therefore, living a life where one is consciously developing good habits by being aware of what one's doing and how one's doing it is very important for developing a base upon which to practice one's devotional service. So the verse I just quoted, yukta haraviharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapnavabodasya, Krishna is saying that don't eat too much, and also don't eat too little. Don't sleep too much and don't sleep too little. Don't recreate too much and don't recreate too little. So this means balance. Find balanced habits in your life. And he goes on in this question asking, I have been recently reading Srimad Bhagavatam and listening to kirtans, but at late night around 2 a.m. due to the type of routine I have set up for myself. Don't do that. Don't stay up late. It doesn't help you. Physically, actually, there's a lot of study about sleep nowadays. You need sleep. Your brain needs sleep. People have there's a higher percentage of heart attacks in the population of people who deprive themselves of sleep. People get early onset dementia and so forth from depriving themselves of sleep. Used to be a badge of courage or heroism that I'm barely sleeping at all. But actually, it's foolhardy. And the Ayurveda says that you should be sound asleep by 10 p.m. and get enough rest so that your brain works properly and all the other organs in your body function properly. This is part of being balanced in your practice. I've seen when people try to cut back on their sleep, generally what happens is they fall asleep when they're trying to practice their meditation, and that's not the right time to sleep. So develop better habits. One of the easiest ways to do that is to make a goal to go to bed by a certain time and then organize your life around that principle. When you go to bed earlier, you'll naturally be refreshed when you wake up early, and then do your practice earlier in the morning when you wake up, and then you'll do much better. So please try that, and don't stay up till 2. Not very good. I correct myself and I fall back to the same routine. What should I do? Well, you're asking a similar question everyone wants to know. One process, which is very helpful, is to first be very deliberate about the kind of habits you want to develop. I recommend that you get a legal pad and a pen and sit down by yourself and write down all the kinds of habits you'd like to develop, or the kinds of bad habits you'd like to overcome, and then brainstorm the ways that you're going to do that. For instance, going to bed earlier and waking up and chanting right away when you wake up. One of the ways to do that is to organize your environment so that it's favorable for that. Baby-proof your house. Your mind is like a little baby and it wants to do whatever it wants to do. But you have to be a smart yogi. And that means that you have to baby-proof your house so that your baby-like mind doesn't grab onto things. Keep your environment simple and focused on the tasks at hand. And when you do that, when you wake up to a clean, neat, tidy environment where you've placed before you all the kinds of items that you need for your practice in the morning, then you'll be inspired to do that. Also, get good association. It's really hard to go it alone. So connect with people that are also regulated or trying to regulate and work with them. When you have associates who are doing the same kind of practice, it'll really help you. Also, try to get small victories. Because every time you reinforce a good habit in devotional service, first of all, Krishna will reciprocate with you in your heart. He'll actually inspire you, and you'll feel some integrity in your heart, and you'll start getting attached to the idea of doing the right thing because it feels better than doing the wrong thing. When you do the wrong thing, you just feel guilty all the time. And when you do the right thing, even if it's a small right thing, you make a good choice, which is sometimes very difficult to do. But if you fortify yourself by hearing Bhagavad Gita and having good association, there's a possibility that you'll have the strength to do that. And one tiny discipline after another, develop them and develop that muscle. And when you do that, you get what's called yoga balena. Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter. Prayana kale marasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranamavesha samyaksatam param purushamu paiti divyam. This verse really relates to the Ashtanga yoga process. And Krishna says, Prayana Kali Manasa Chalina, the yogi has to be able to control his or her mind at the time of death. That's no easy task. And he or she can do so by practicing yoga during one's life, being serious about it. And when you do that, you develop what's called yoga balena. Bala means strength. And the strength of yoga will help you in the most distressful times. Of course, the most distressful time of all will be when we leave these bodies. So you have to be ready for that. Don't waste time and try to catch up later. Everyone knows from taking exams that that doesn't work. So get ready now. And when you have that yoga balena, then you'll be able to self-direct. And you get that by practice. So practice on the disciplines and make one little victory after another.
So just wanted to update Guru Maharaj that we have got 8 joinees on the Zoom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on Zoom. And let me see if I can look at the participants on there. Bhakta, Govinda, Radharani Dasi, RX Nandakumar, Surat, and someone named VDA Presentation. That must be you. So If you have, thanks for joining us, by the way. It's nice to I feel your energy coming on the Zoom call. And if you want to write something in a text box, or if you want to speak up and ask a question while you're there, then JP, who's monitoring this, will help you out. Is that right, JP?
Yeah. So they can type in chat box. I'll quickly look at, as well as they can unmute themselves and ask questions during the inter gaps between answers too.
Anytime. Great. Yeah. Make yourselves at home. Feel free to ask or to write in. If you can figure out where the chat box is, go for it. And if you want to unmute and speak up, I think it'll be a lot of fun. So let's see if we can do that. Okay. So let's move to a few more questions until I hear from any of you. And JP will let me know so I can concentrate on the other questions. Yes. And here we have one from Adam. So he says, many devotees will have a very little personal contact with their spiritual masters or may not serve them personally. If a disciple is simply following his guru's teachings and the teachings are largely the same teachings that everyone is receiving about bhakti from all the different Vaishnava gurus and from all of Srila Prabhupada's books, then how are we to think about the uniqueness of the guru-disciple relationship in general? Well, Srila Prabhupada answers this in part in the Nectar of Devotion when he mentions that everyone who has an individual guru will get principles and also details. So the principles are always the same in bhakti, to remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, and so forth. And there may be slightly different details. Now, each guru is a person and is unique and has a unique relationship with his or her spiritual master, and therefore will have a slightly different perspective of the details and the way that he or she passes them along. Actually, as Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion, the relationship with the spiritual master is arranged by the internal energy. And he also says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the spiritual master is like having a parent. And just as a child who's growing up needs a parent in order to mature, so does a disciple who's starting the process, gets encouragement. And even if that person doesn't have a lot of association directly with the guru, the relationship is still extremely profound because it's from the internal level. And such a disciple will draw energy from identifying with that particular Vaishnava that he or she has taken shelter of through initiation, and will be inspired in watching the life and service of such a person. Now, of course, if your guru is alive and walking around on the planet, there's every opportunity to get some association and to ask a personal question or ask for some personal service. And you'll notice that disciples of gurus have many different kinds of service that they take up according to their propensity, because the guru will notice that such and such a person has a certain talents or propensities and engages them in Krishna service. And this is a very enlivening kind of a connection. So although they all may be reading Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's books are encyclopedic. And according to the guru's capacity and realization, he or she will present particular aspects and emphasize certain details from the teachings. So, Bhakti Adam, I hope that helps. There's a few more questions you have here. How do we know, writes Bhakti Adam, how do we know if the spiritual master is pleased with us? Well, ask and say, hey, are you pleased with my service? And that's one way. And also, as one matures and studies the instructions of the guru, one may note for oneself whether one's following carefully. It also helps to be in association with advanced God siblings, because they can also help us, and they actually do a lot. They tend to take liberties or the trouble to give special instruction as they've learned from their guru. And also, they oftentimes feel free to even chastise you if you're really lucky. So take advantage of those kinds of association, and you can learn a lot about how to please your guru. So what else, JP? Is there anything else from coming in live from Facebook or from?
Yeah, there are one from Zoom and two from Facebook, which I've added on the top of the list.
Okay. Do you want to present them to me?
Sure, you can just scroll up the sheet.
Oh, you put it up here already?
Yeah, they're all there on the sheet.
Okay. So, Gina, I just saw you. I saw you yesterday. Good to see you again here. Thanks for joining in. She's on Facebook. Okay, so Gina writes, I've been studying the Gita a few years and just started the first canto, but is there another book that would be good for me to study at this stage? Yes, I highly recommend the Sri Upanishad. It's a life-changing book. It's very important. Prabhupada wrote it early on, and he put a lot of basic instructions in the Sri Upanishad. I read it when I first... Actually, I picked it up before I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement at a bookstore in Berkeley, California called Shambhala Books. So I just got a Back to Godhead magazine, and in it there was an advertisement for the Sri Upanishad, which really caught my attention because it said, actually, the Supreme Absolute is a person, and that shocked me because I'd never heard anyone say that before. On the cover of the Sri Upanishad is a picture of the Mahavishnu, the great manifestation of Krishna, who is instrumental in creating the material world. The Sri Upanishad starts off with the invocation, Om Purnam Adah Purnam Idam Purnam Udachite Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishite. The personality of God, it is perfect and complete, and all emanations that come from him are also complete in themselves. Even though so many complete units emanate from the complete whole, that complete whole remains the complete balance. In other words, this is describing the essence of the Supreme. That is, he's the origin of everything, and everything he does is completely perfect. And all emanations from him are completely perfect. That's good to know. And also, he's never diminished. It's not that as he emanates so many worlds and living entities and energies of various kinds, he changes it all. He always remains completely full and always increasing. He's always full of bliss, knowledge, and eternality. So in the purport to that invocation, Srila Prabhupada writes that all forms of incompleteness in this life are due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. That's a life-changing sentence. The more we get to know the complete whole, the more we actually feel complete ourselves. So the Sri Upanishad then goes on to say in the next verse, it's actually the first verse after the invocation, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita magradha kasasvidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for oneself, which are set aside as one's quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Now that'll solve all your problems, because our problem in life is trying to hold on to material things, including this material body, which we're only inhabiting very temporarily. And knowing who they belong to Isha, or the Supreme Controller, and that's not me. Once I met a priest, and we had a long conversation about our different traditions, and at the end he said, well, one thing I know for sure. Actually, he said, I know two things for sure. There is a God, and I'm not him. So the Sri Upanishad tells us who that is, who that Supreme is. He's the Supreme Controller. It's called Isha. And when we understand that he's the controller and that he set aside things for us, then we can actually be well-adjusted and happy in life. So, Gina, I recommend the Shrish Upanishad. And also, not to pile too many on you, but the next one is called the Upadeshamrita, or the Nectar of Instruction. It's written by Rupa Goswami, who was one of the primary disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this book, the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction, he starts off by advising us that we should control our speech. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, and the urges of the mind, the belly, the genitals, and all the other senses. And when we learn to control our senses, this is the very beginning of yoga, then we actually become qualified to teach bhakti yoga, he says. And this is a very important point that comes up in the bhakti teachings. A verse from another scripture called the Padma Purana says, Atashi Krishna Mahadi na bhaved grayam indriye, seva mukhi hi jivado swayameva spuratyada. You can't understand God by your blunt material senses. It's not possible to speculate or to see God. We are covered over. However, if you begin service to God, beginning with the tongue, jiha adao, then he will reveal himself to you incrementally. So this is very important instruction. And that the Upadeshamrita is a primer for anyone who wants to learn about bhakti. And you can go through that verse by verse. So I recommend, Gina, go into the Shrish Upanishad and also the Upadeshamrita. That really help you out a lot. Thanks for your question. Great to see you here on Facebook. Okay. What else do we have, JP?
We do have a couple of more on Zoom. I have posted on the sheet, but
okay.
Bhakta and Nandakumar, if you want to speak up and ask, that's fine too. Or we can read from the question from the sheet.
Here's Bhakta. I want to honor Bhakta's and any that's some of the Zoom participants also. So here's Bhakta. He says, "We hear we need to have a taste for serving Krishna. You mentioned that service should be individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. When we lack those feelings and we are trying to build them up, what are the best ways to do that apart from chanting 16 rounds daily?" Wow, what a great question. It sounds like you're well on your way to advancing to the highest levels of Krishna consciousness with such a sincere question. So, yes, we do hear often that we need to have a taste for serving Krishna. In fact, in his famous song, Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Boli Nachari Armarman, Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that if you get a taste for Krishna consciousness, especially chanting Hare Krishna or hearing Krishna Katha, then your life will be successful. And if you miss that, he says, then your life is useless. That's a pretty steep drop-off there. So, we need to get a taste for serving Krishna. And this point about individual, spontaneous, and voluntary service comes from an instruction that Srila Prabhupada himself gave to a disciple named Karandar, who was an early disciple who helped to push on the Krishna consciousness movement, especially in Los Angeles. He was a manager, young man. Everyone was young at that time. And he showed a special acumen for management. And Prabhupada gave him some advice about managing. And he said, you should create an environment in which the devotees perform devotional services, individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. That means that try to encourage people in a natural way. You can't force people to do devotional service. It has to come from their own decision. And so you should be very encouraging in that way. When we lack those feelings, and I'm assuming, Bhakta, you're talking about those feelings, either taste or the fact that it's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary, and we're trying to build them up, what are the best ways to do that apart from chanting 16 rounds daily? Well, that is the most important way, is to chant 16 rounds daily. But always, 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 association is primary. We become whomever we associate with, we become like whomever we associate with. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Guna Sangosya Sarasad Yoni Janmasu. And that is, if you want to know how you got into the situation you're in now, you need only look to whomever you've associated with in the past. It may not just be this life, previous lives as well. The way in which we're allocated to a certain family in this life when we're born, you didn't really check any boxes and say where you wanted to be born. Someone else chose for you. That's called divinatrena. And that was because in a previous life, you had associated in a certain way. You had developed particular qualities because of that. And therefore, material nature accommodated you. So sadasad yoni janmasu means you get good and bad situations according to your previous association. Because association is infectious. We take on the qualities of those with whom we associate. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is a devotee? He said, a satsanga tyage Vaishnava char. A Vaishnava, a devotee, is someone who avoids bad association. And this is something that comes up in the book I recommended earlier to Gina, the Upadeshamrita. Rupa Goswami says, avoid a worldly association. Jana shangas chalalyam cha. So avoid association with people who are worldly minded. That means they think the purpose of life is to get the most out of material things in this world. Associate rather with those who are determined to practice devotional service and go back to Godhead. So if you associate with people who have enthusiasm for devotional service, who are sincere, look for those who are sincere. That means they really do want to advance in devotional service. Then you'll be well served. So chanting 16 rounds, excellent. Also look for good association and get it whenever you can. Associate with advanced devotees. Okay.
We have one more question.
Direction here, JP. What do
we have? One more question from Zoom on from Nandakumar as well.
There's Nandakumar. Great. Hey, Nandakumar. Great to see you here. Thanks for joining us on Zoom. He writes, what is the root cause of fear or anxiety in our day, in our day-to-day lives? How do we overcome this day-to-day anxiety and take fearless action in our lives? Can you please point to verses in the Gita that clarify these points? Well, to do so first, I'll need a drink of water because that's a mighty powerful question. Okay, so Nandakumar Prabhu, the cause of fear and anxiety is forgetting Krishna. Because as soon as we forget Krishna, then what we see is a shadow or darkness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. The Chaitanya Charitamrita points out that wherever there's Krishna, there's light. And whenever we forget Krishna, there's darkness. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Bhayam Dvitiya Abhinibeshitasya Ishad Apetasya Viparya Yosmriti. That is, Bhayam, or fear, arises whenever we become absorbed in things that are not Krishna. Now, someone may say that sounds ridiculous because Krishna says he's everything. Well, that's true. Srimad Bhagavatam also says, Ritertam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidyadatmanumayam yatapaso yatatamaha. This is a very important verse. It comes from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this counted among the Chatur Shloki, where the four seed or nutshell verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna taught to Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation. And this verse says, Ritertam yat pratyeta, whatever you see that you consider to be different from me, know that to be my illusory energy. In other words, everything is Krishna. And all things that happen to us ultimately come from the supreme cause of all causes, Krishna. And if I think they're coming from somewhere else, or I think that I'm separate from Krishna, or I have some interest separate from Krishna, then this is called illusion, which is also darkness, ignorance. And because of that, I enter into the realm of fear and anxiety. It all comes from misidentification. So when I'm properly aligned, that is, I understand that my real interest in life is to serve Krishna, then I give myself in service to Krishna, then that light from the service to Krishna enters my life. It actually comes from Krishna. And the things that scared me before, they just as at night, you may be walking down the path to your house and step on what you think is a snake, and you might jump. But then you'll notice in the morning when the first light comes up that wasn't a snake at all, it was a hose that you left across the pathway. So similarly, when you take to devotional service and you see that actually everything's connected to Krishna and you're part of Krishna, then as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when you understand this, then you'll no longer be troubled by the fear that comes from ignorance. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manak shastan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, that mamai vamsho jiva loke, know that you are part of me. You're actually an ansha. Just like I have hands here, as you can see, and they're part of my body, and they cooperate with my body to do service, really, for the stomach. They and for every other interest that I might have. And we similarly are angas, or parts of Krishna. Mamai vamsho jiva loke. So all the living entities in this world, they belong to Krishna. Jiva bhuta sanatana. And they're all eternal, just like Krishna is eternal. Manak shastan indriyani, Krishna says, they struggle when they look away from Krishna, or they forget the fact that they're part and parcel of Krishna. They struggle with the mind, and they get an anxiety. Manak shastan indriyani, prakriti stani karshati, they grapple with the material nature. So this causes anxiety, it causes fear. And the way to overcome that, nirmana moha jita sanga dosha dhyatma nitya vinivritti kama dvanverva mukta sukaduka sangja gachantya mura param avyayam tat. This is same chapter, 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, be nirmana. Nirmana means don't have any false ego. Just like in this world, people say, you're the man. You be the man. So don't be the man. Be the humble servant. Nirmana moha jitta. Be free from illusion by staying close to Krishna Katha and chanting Hare Krishna. Moha jitta sanga dosha, and stay away from bad association. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta dvandva. Dvandvarva mukta sukha dukha samjar. So Krishna explains in this verse that if you can overcome these faults of material existence and practice Krishna consciousness properly, you'll become free from the duality that causes you anxiety. Much more to say on that, and the Bhagavatam goes on and on about that, but there's a few thoughts for you. That was from Nanda Kumar, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, thanks, Nanda. Okay, JP, why don't you direct me?
Sure. Next is we have question from Gandharvika Keri Devidasi from Ask Vaish.
Okay. Gandharvika Keri Devidasi, thank you for writing in. She writes, Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. I have a colleague who is sincerely inquiring into bhakti yoga when we are in a position to preach, but we don't feel qualified to preach jnana by vijnana, not there, will the preaching have full effect? Just to, we have a minute left. Okay, so jnana means knowledge, vijnana means realized knowledge. So what you're really asking here is an important question. So you want to teach Krishna consciousness to those who are inquiring about it. And when can you do that? Well, you can do it right away as soon as you have a little faith in the process yourself, and you know more than the other person. I mean, the most simple kind of preaching was done by the daughter of Shamasundar and Malati when she was just a little toddler. And Prabhupada would bring this as an example. Her name is Saraswati. When she was a baby, she would walk up to people and say, "Do you know who is Krishna?" And they say, "Who?" And she'd say, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead." Because she had heard that from Prabhupada and from her parents. So Prabhupada also gives this example that if the father tells the son, "This is a microphone," the son doesn't know what a microphone is exactly, but he takes it from his father because his father's an authority that he can trust. And then he tells somebody else, "This is a microphone," then he's giving proper knowledge. So when you begin in Krishna consciousness, you may have some faith, but you may not know how to answer all kinds of questions. You may not know how to refer to various parts of the scripture to back up what you're saying, which is important when you have the wherewithal to do so, because when you go into court, as an example, you're supposed to give case law and precedent. So similarly, when you're speaking in spiritual circles, you should be able to refer to the scripture you're talking about to verify your point. But when you're teaching new people, you can read to them from Bhagavad Gita the parts that inspire you, and you can also tell them what you've heard so far. And you can also teach them chant Hare Krishna. You can teach them how to take prasadam, or more likely feed them prasadam, and invite them into a spiritual atmosphere. That's all simple and something that anyone can do wherever they live. Be bold and start. In fact, the devotees who first joined the Krishna conscious movement really didn't know much. In fact, Malati, one of the first who joined the Krishna conscious movement, said when Prabhupada sent her and others out to teach people about chanting Hare Krishna, she didn't even know the Hare Krishna mantra completely. She had it on a card and would say, "Here, chant this mantra. Here, let's read it together." So you can start anytime. And the fact is, when you do that, you'll actually feel inspired to learn more. And Krishna will teach you more from within the heart. He'll also bring questions from people who you meet that you'll want to find out about. And I've seen this again and again, that when neophytes start teaching Krishna consciousness to others, they get inspired to learn more. So the balance of these two things, teaching it to others as soon as you can and learning as much as you can as you go along, will move you along very quickly on the path of devotional service. Okay? So go for it. And if you have a good mentor who's backing you up, every time you have a question, you can find out the answers and then take it back to the people that you're helping. And that'll be effective. You can do it. Go for it. So thanks for joining us for this session of questions and answers. It's been really fun being with you. I must say there's an ocean of questions here, and we're going to have to dive into that ocean and keep answering them as much as possible. So I hope you'll join us again soon. Great to see you all on Zoom, Facebook, and Ask Vaish from the internet. Stay in touch and let us know how you're doing and if you have any questions. And I'll look forward to seeing you very, very soon. JP, thanks for moderating today and for setting everything up. For those of you who don't know, Jai Prakash Prabhu, who behind the scenes is making all this work. So thanks to him. A round of applause from everyone around the world. And we'll look forward to seeing you all as soon as possible.
Thanks for joining.
Forget Krishna. Yes, JP, go ahead.
I was just thanking everyone for joining. It was a wonderful session. Lots of good questions and answers today.
Okay. Yeah. See you all soon. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman.